Thank you for granting us mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for being here once again to learn from you. Father, Lord, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Lord, speak to us, speak to our hearts, and cause there to be change from within. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. So today we're going to be ending. And I just want to make one point. The point I want to make is, you know, it is a waste of time to be a feminist. That's the point I want to make, you know. You know, typically at times when we... are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, typically at times when we give instruction, at times we don't explain. It's a thing that can happen in humanity. At times you can just say, do this thing, but you might not explain why you need to do it. And it's not every time you need an explanation, but there are certain things that, you see, one of the core elements of faith is your logic. Are we together? How you think. Okay? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
One of the people that Jesus Christ said had the greatest faith that he has never seen in Israel did not have that faith. I'm talking about the centurion. Because he had heard preaching. It's just because of how he taught. He had the thinking pattern of a military man. And so he just spoke to him like military man to military man. Do you understand? Yeah. It's not like he had powerful preaching before he... The judge can say, wow, I've not seen this kind of faith before. So, it is very important that maybe, I don't know, because I really want to, I don't want to drag this thing. So maybe if there's time, we can do some Q&A. Even though you keep your Q&A till tomorrow. But it is very important, especially when you are young, to have an understanding of why you are deciding something or why you are choosing something. You know, understanding is good. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Understanding is always better than ignorance. Again, right? And understanding is always better than my pastor said. Are we together? Even though your pastor said is important, it's very important, but understanding is higher than that. When you understand, yeah, it's not like a deep theological thing. It's just basic thing to just understand. You know. So as you go into the world, for instance, you would see women tell you, why are you not a feminist? And, you know, you might not be able to answer. And even yourself, you might begin to think, why am I not a feminist? You know. So I don't want you to suppress any questions, okay? I want you to have understanding. Can you say understanding?
Understanding.
Yeah. So the first thing, before we get there, I want to address one issue. Is that issue that we'll use to answer the question, okay? And it is the question of, should women be allowed to have leadership position in church? Okay? We're going to answer that question, okay? And then, when we get to the answer, we'll then use that answer to then answer why it is a waste of time. You know, it's not a bad thing necessarily, it's just a waste of time to be a feminist. You're wasting energy. You can use that energy on more productive things. So, How many of you believe that women should not be leaders in church? You can believe it, I won't judge you. There's no... So everybody believes that women can be leaders in church. We all believe it. Rose, you believe it? Okay. So why? Let me ask you why? Who can defend their position as why women, it is okay for women to be leaders in church? Everybody's keeping quiet.
At first, I didn't really think that women should have, because at a point in my life, I'm always a feminist before. I was a feminist before.
Yeah.
So it was when I came to GCC, I think 2020. I think the time that Pastor Bika was made the pastor, I was shocked when she said she was the pastor of Magodo Church.
Yeah.
And her husband was not. So I was like, it was just GCC that I was like, because I'm going to study joke. It's only men that I used to see. So it was when I came to GCC that I saw Pastor Bika was, even my mom was like, are you sure it's not her husband? I said, no, she's the one. Mom was even shocked too, because I'm always seeing like men. Mom was like, okay. So is her husband the pastor, a big pastor, and she's pastor Mrs. I said, no, she's the pastor of Magodo Church, and her husband is not the pastor. So I feel like women should lead, because I've actually read my Bible, and I've seen Deborah, she was the judge of Israel. I've seen even Anna and Simon in Matthew. So they were also leaders too. So I feel like, because it was actually God that created, because he said that God created man, and there are two types of man, female and male. So why shouldn't the women lead? So I feel like women should lead, because it was actually God that created them.
Hallelujah. Very powerful points. A lot of you might be surprised because you're young, but I can perfectly understand. There are people in church, when they saw that poster, Pastor Bike Ajayi, some people can leave church because of that. Yeah. It's not a, you might not know about it. These are the things in people's minds. Especially because it is not, please just stay with me, Especially because it is not a small amount of people that practice this thing. Eh? Are we together? There are more Catholics and Anglicans than there are Pentecostals. Are we together? Eh? And that's just one of the few where women can't be ordained as bishops. Hallelujah. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So actually, if you were to look at it critically, you would say that most Christians practice a Christianity. Please, this thing is still doing. Most Christians practice a Christianity. Are we together? Most Christians practice a Christianity in which women are not leaders. Most Christians. Amen. So, Rose, let me ask you a question, because, you know, you said, give Rose the mic, please. Can we go to First Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. You know, this is very, I'm teaching you Bible the way I read Bible. I'm teaching you Bible the way I think. So, we'll get to the answer together. That's what I'm saying.
All right. We'll read verse 11, we'll read verse 12. Can we read together? One, two, go. All right, can we read the two of these together? One, two, go. Okay. So, Yuda, you say that women should lead. What if someone should not say? But the scripture here says that women should not have authority over a man. Abina, that's what he says now. Abina. So what will you say to them?
I will give an example from the Bible where women actually led. Like she said, Deborah led. I'll give an example of that. And I think this particular place, I've misread it before, and I asked my sister about it, and she also couldn't explain why it was said that women should be silent and not have authority over men. So there was one of her friend that does Bible study like this, and he was able to explain to me about something else. I don't think it was this particular Bible chapter, but it was something like this that you were saying too. So the man mentioned that they are not saying that women cannot lead. It's just I can't really put it the way he put it, but let me just answer the question you said. I'll give an example of where women led in the Bible.
Okay.
And women and men are equal. The way in God's eyes, we are equal. Like you said last 2 weeks or before they are waiting, you said emotionally women are stronger than men. It's just the physical strength. And I believe that women can lead too, just the way men can lead, because we are equal in the eyes of men, in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of men. And the same thing that God will have a man preach to women, preach to the congregation, a woman can actually do it too.
Okay, fantastic. Can we clap her?
That's actually a good answer. The problem, the only problem that he had was when he went to my pastor said, you know, that's when he said, that Bible teacher said, you know, that was always where you have problem. You know, when you don't really know something for yourself. But yeah, they said, you know. But your answer is actually, even though you're not sure about your answer is actually very correct. You know. So, there are, now, okay, scripture is there. So, you can understand why many people have the beliefs that they have. Abina. Christabel, are you with me? Are we together? Because people have a scripture to seemingly back up what they are saying. So someone can genuinely, you know, read his Bible and say, oh, this is what the Bible says. Let us follow what the Bible says. Are we together? What was that? He said, I'm not the innocent. What was that? The two people, what was that? You are talking. Are you distracting yourselves? Someone should go and sit down beside Bolaji. Maybe Jamila should go and sit down beside Bolaji. If you're with me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, what was I saying? Yeah, someone can genuinely, you know. See, you should be shocked when someone looks at you and says, it's abomination. You know. Why are you ordaining a woman bishop? It's abomination. Because according to the person, this scripture backs up what they are saying. Now, what I want us to do is that I want us to do like debates. you know, I want us to do for and against. Okay? So what's the motion? The motion is that women should be leaders, or women can, not should, you know, women can be leaders in God's kingdom. Are we together? So that's the motion. All right, so in your books, do for, do against. So split it into two. Do for, do against. So we'll start by looking at the four. That is, so we'll start with the four, all right? So what does the scripture say in support of women being leaders? Amen. Are you getting me? Now, the first position or the first argument for is that women have evidently been leaders in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As I said, Rose, even though she was unsure, she was actually very correct. And Joy. So what are some examples of these women? Give me some examples. Deborah. Esther was not leader in, Esther was leader in another, she was queen. That one is, you know. There are plenty, just think. It's Miriam. Abina. It's Miriam. All right? What of New Testament? Let's go to Romans 16. No, we're still on the first point, okay? The point four. Romans 16. All right. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. Who is he talking about? Phoebe, our sister, right? Who is a servant of the church in Kentria, however I pronounce that, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Can you go back to verse 1? Can you go to Amplified? Okay. So when you see that servant there, you can just overlook it, right? In that part, we're all servants of God, that kind of thing. But we clearly see that the word is deaconess. Huh? Who is a deaconess? Who's a deaconess now? Who's a deacon? It's very simple. A deacon is just a church leader. It's just a leader in the church. Just serving in a leadership capacity in a church. Are we together? Yeah. So we clearly see here that Phoebe is introduced as a what? As a what?
Deaconess.
A deaconess. Thank you. So she's a leader. All right, let's go. Verse 3. Greet Prisca, Priscilla, and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we go back to verse 3? So who is Priscilla? Prisca, sorry. Who is Prisca? Or what is Prisca? Huh? She's a fellow worker in Christ Jesus. What kind of work does Paul do? Huh? You know it now. What kind of work does Paul do? Teaching and preaching. What other kind of work does Paul do? Planting churches. Huh? Yeah. So he's saying that they are his fellow workers in Christ Jesus, meaning they are in the same, in quotes, profession. Right? All right, let's go to verse 4. Who risked their own necks, endangering their very lives for my life? To them, not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that meets in their house. Hallelujah. So if they were in our church, what would they be? They'll be glory room leaders. Abi now. So are they leaders or not? So Priscilla is a leader, Abi? All right. Prisca, sorry. Prisca. All right, so let us go to verse 7. Greet Andronicus and Junias. This Junias is junior, is a woman. You can go back to NKJV. All right, Grint, Andrew, Nikos, and Junior. Hallelujah. So Junior is the female. My countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Go back to Amplified. Greet Andronicus and Junias, my kinsmen and once my fellow prisoners, who are held in high esteem. High esteem in the estimation of the apostles, and who are believers in Christ before me. In other words, what they are saying, what some people say is that this Andronicus and Junior, they were also apostles. Who were also, you know, they were like also in the work, you know, in that time period. All right. Are we together? All right. So that is the first point 4. Okay? That women have led both in the Old and the New Testament. The second point is equality in Christ. We won't talk much about that. We all know that in Christ, there is no male, no female. Abi now? So when Jesus Christ sees humanity, he is pouring out his spirit now. He won't say there's a type of spirit upon women, there's a type of spirit upon men, you know. We're all in Christ Jesus. So that's the second point, our equality in Christ Jesus. The third argument 4 is just the historical precedent. We've read about some of the historical figures in the early church and even in normal time. Are we together? So that's where Pastor Pike Ajayi will come into place, you know, right? That's, you know, we've just obviously seen women that God has been working with, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So if our eye is saying something, clearly there's something there, if you get what I'm saying, you know. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Now, please, just for the sake of this, I know I've already given the answer. Of course, you know that I'm already, in a way, saying that women can be leaders. But just for the sake of this exercise, because what's important to me is how your mind, you remember what I said, faith is by how your mind thinks. I want your mind to think in a certain way. So if you can, just assume that we don't have an answer yet. Okay, we're just looking at it honestly. So let's now go against. So what's the motion again? Huh? All right. So what's the... So if you are saying we're arguing against that motion, what are we saying? Women can't be leaders, right? So, all right. So what are the key arguments against? We've already read one. We've read the text in 1 Timothy 2, verse 11. Let's read another one in 1 Corinthians 14. First Corinthians 14, verse 34. First Corinthians 14, verse 34. John 15. All right. The women should be silent in the churches, for they are not authorized to speak, but are to take a subordinate place, as the law says. If there is anything they want to learn, that is, if they have any questions about anything being said or taught, they are to ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to talk in church. Okay? So that's the first argument against it, right? The second argument, we'll look at scripture, it's just the order of creation. Someone can say that Adam was created first, then women were created after Adam. So therefore, women are by destiny under men. You know, it's logical now. It's logical, I guess. So someone can come to that conclusion, right? So that's the second thing, creation order. Are you writing? Is everybody, are you writing what I'm saying? Why are you not writing what I'm saying? You don't have pen. Ask your neighbor for pen. The third is Jesus did not ordain any man or any woman. Hallelujah. Are we together? Out of all the 12 apostles, they were all men. So one can say that the leadership of the church is clearly men. Okay? So let's look at the two side by side. What's the arguments for? Say it to me. Arguments for. What's the first argument for? Everybody's not talking. What's the first argument for?
Women have been evidently the leaders in the Old Testament and New Testament.
All right. What's the second one?
Equality in Christ Jesus.
All right. What's the third one? All right. So what's the first argument against? Oh, yeah, I know. Just call it restrictive text. Just use that word, restrictive text. That's text of scripture that restricts women's participation. All right. So that's the first one, restrictive text. What's the second one? Yeah, the order of creation. What's the third one? Jesus did not ordain any woman. Okay.
Now, out of these two, which one do you like? Which one do you think makes more sense? Four. Why does four make more sense? Let's hear him talk. Please, all of you need to be here. Your mind needs to be here. This is how you understand scripture. Okay? So I want your mind to be here. Why is it four?
The reason I choose four,
yeah,
was because in four we have women have evidently led in both the New and Old Testament, equality in Christ Jesus, and historical and modern figures of female leadership. When and in against, it was said by the Lord not to allow women speak in church in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 35. And second was creation order. Man was made first. Yeah. So that's not really... So if we're talking about Jesus Christ, it's not... The creation of man, the order of creation doesn't really come into it. It's just like... the order of creation doesn't come into place because we're trying to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And the third point of against was Jesus did not ordain any woman through all his 12 disciples. Even though his 12 disciples went women, he also like had women that followed him, like Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute, and she was one of the women that like helped with everything that he did.
Can we clap for him? That's a very fantastic answer. Very fantastic answer. You made your point very clear. That's good. Does another person want to speak? Why does four make more sense? If that's what you are saying. Eh? Yeah, you can add one more. Please, go ahead.
Another reason I picked four was because of the woman at the well, where Jesus tells us something, and then when she finished hearing it, she goes to meet men and tells them to come and listen.
Yeah.
Meaning she like had.
Yeah. She was ordained in quote to go and preach. Yeah. That's very fantastic. Can we clap again? All right. You wanted to speak. I want to speak so that we'll clap for you. It's as if you really want something to say. All right.
In the process of when Jesus died, he gave an instruction that he will resurrect at the third day. So it was, man has a strong heart. They don't believe something quickly. But women have an emotional heart. They are so calm.
No,
so
you're going out of, I didn't talk about land.
So they are the one that, it was women that actually come back and watch Jesus. So, and the Bible also classifies as we are all sons of God. The Bible did not qualify that we have men and we have women. So the same authority that man can possess, a woman can also possess.
All right, let's start for you. You went a bit out of the scope. Now we looked at three things. The answer is correct, but it went a bit out of the scope. I loved it if you stayed within the scope. But it's still a good answer. Still a good answer. Okay, Rose. So, you see, you don't need to say it as if you are not sure. Abina, you don't need to say it as if you are not sure because scripture is actually on your side. Are we together? Yeah. So now, the issue of
the order of creation. I was waiting for, I think nobody mentioned it or nobody had raised their hand yet, but the issue of the order of creation, we actually spoke about that in our first teaching. I don't even remember what we said, that man and woman were created at the same time. Do you remember? Yeah. That's in Genesis 1. Let's look at it quickly again. Genesis 1 verse 27. All right, can we read together? 1, 2, go. All right, hallelujah. All right. So we made a distinction between that first man and then the male and female, right? What we call man is mankind, meaning the type of creation that is man. And then that man now has two. There's the male man, there's the female man. And so when God was creating man, from the beginning, the point was that we were going to have the two. So at conception, they were the same. It's not like women were not an afterthought. You know, if you don't have this understanding, you would think that women were an afterthought. That he created man, the man was not lonely. It was like, yeah, you know, why is this man lonely? Let me now create woman. But that's not the order. That was always going to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So, the issue of the order of creation, you can't really use that. And then if you also use the issue of Jesus did not ordain men, which is what you are alluding to a bit, you know, just that you start talking about women are emotional and things like that, which is not the, it's not the scope. But if you talk about ordaining women, I think that's what you also mentioned. You know, that's a very powerful points. You know, one thing about ordination, you see, ordination with Jesus Christ is not always kneel down in front of everybody. Let us anoint you. Are we together? Yeah. So, you can also say, for example, that Jesus did not ordain black people. Have you know? None of the 12 disciples were black, you know, or African. You know, none of them were white, too. No, they are not white people. Do you know? No, Jesus is not white. It doesn't matter, but if you want to say Jesus' ethnicity is not white, all those images you are seeing in church is fake. That's fake. That's colonization, Jesus. That's not, Jesus does not have that beautiful hair. You know that, you know those, you know, that was not, he was a brownish person. Are we together? So, but just that it's a pointless argument. Please don't argue those kind of nonsense. It's a pointless argument, you know. The for, the against. So, if you actually, are you hear what I'm saying? All right. So, you see, you don't need to be a rebellious person. If you actually sit down and look at the scripture, you will see that it's like the four is making more sense. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Like the four is making more sense. Now, there is something important I want you to understand. This will lead us into our conversation on feminism. That when it comes to issues in Christianity, as regards what we believe, there are three issues, or there are three categories. I want you to write this down. There are three categories that you can group issues into. Are you learning from this thing?
Yes, sir.
The first are all Christian teaching, what we believe, all those kind of things. There are three issues. The first are core issues. Okay? Core issues. If this were to be a theological class, I would say orthodoxy. You know. But you have core theological issues. And these are issues around God, Jesus, salvation, what does it mean to be saved, you know, that kind of thing. Core issues. How many of you have seen a church where they will say, these are our core beliefs? They will list out like 7 or 8. How many of you have seen that thing before? You should have seen it. I used to attend reading. You see, our church doesn't have, but, you know, do people know what I'm talking about? We believe in God, we believe in one God, we believe in Holy Spirit, all those kind of things right here. You know, so like that, there are core issues of Christianity. For instance, who is a saved person? Let me ask you, who is a saved person? Who is a believer? Who is a believer? Who is a child of God? Someone who is born again. Why are you looking at me? Someone who is born again. I'll be now.
Yeah.
Someone who is born again. Okay? Now, if I've been coming to church since I was born, does that make me a believer? No, it doesn't. Okay? I'm only a believer when I am born again. How does one become born again? All right, accepting Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, right? And that's a core issue. Let's leave it at that. Then the second issue are issues that are church practices, you know. Meaning these are not core issues, but depending on your understanding of Christianity, there are different kinds of church practices that you embark on. Okay? For example, some churches believe in water baptism. Abina? Some churches believe in that the water baptism must be a river. I mean, if you do swimming pool, people have done nonsense. According to them, like, it must be a river. And they say, you start going to dirty, you know. You look for dirty river. River that they've thrown this in Israel because they want to do water baptism. Okay? So those are individual church practice issues, meaning they are not core. They can be important, but they can't be in the community. They don't have to deal with issues of salvation. It's depending on how you understand certain things. Are we together? And after that, there are heretic teachings. Okay? Now, what do I mean by heretic teachings? Heretic teachings are teachings that go against core issues. Can you sit well, please? Okay? Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Is this lecture, is it boring?
No, sir.
What did I say heretic teachings are? Yeah, they go against core issues. Not church practice issues. Are we together? So, if, for example, I don't believe in, you know, for instance, I don't really believe that a Christian must be baptized in water. I believe it's important, and I believe you should do it. But if you don't get baptized in water, I won't treat you as, you get my point, I won't treat you as an unbeliever, right? So, you can have differences in opinion on church practices, but on core issues, you must agree, because those issues, they are few, they are not plenty. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Eh? Core issues, they are few, they are not plenty. And whenever you teach against core issues, that is when it is heresy. Okay? So now let's do a quick exercise. Based on what I've said, what do you think tithing is? Is it a core issue? Is it a church practice? Is it a heresy? Tithing. Paying tithes, is it a core issue? Is it a church practice? Is it a heresy? Why is it a core issue? What's the definition of a core issue? Can someone stand up and talk? Please, where's the mic? Give me the mic. I'll be the one distributing it. There's no wrong answer. I'll be ashamed of giving answer in church again. Who wants to talk? Aisha, talk. Is paying tithe a core issue, a church practice, or a heresy? What do you think? Just talk. Or first, what is a core issue? You don't know what a core issue is. You didn't hear. Okay, can someone say what a core issue is? Maybe I didn't explain it well. What did I say a core issue is now? Yes. So let me explain it. Maybe you didn't get an explanation. So a core Christian doctrinal issue is an issue primarily around the core identity of a Christian. So it deals with things like, who is Jesus? Okay? What does it mean to be saved? Who is the Holy Spirit? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Meaning, it is the most important things of a Christian. When you say this is a Christian, without a core issue, you can't be a Christian. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Huh? So it is, you're dealing with things like being born again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sin. What is sin? Heaven and hell. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? What is faith? Okay. Then, aside that, you then have church issues that fall under individual church practice. It's still scriptural, but then you will notice that there's diversion. It depends on how people are interpreting scripture. That's why I was giving the example of water baptism. Are we together? Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Some churches believe in it, some churches don't. Then heresy are teachings or beliefs that go against core issues, not practice, not church practice issues. Church practice issues are just individual opinion. But when something goes against core issues, then that's heretic. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning, if you have those beliefs, what a church needs to do, the church has to say, you are no longer part of us for you to have those beliefs. You can't be, for instance, I can't say that nobody is going to hellfire. Are we together? That's heretic. Yeah, because call to salvation is that some people are going to hellfire. Jesus came so that we'll not go to hellfire. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the core of Christianity. By core, I mean center, like central, just in case. Okay, so Aisha, do you understand now? Do you understand now? All right, so is paying tithes a core issue, church practice, or heresy? You think, what do you think? And talk to the mic.
Well, I think it's under question.
You think it's under question? Yeah. All right.
Okay, so I think it's a church practice, but not...
There's no but. You think it's a church practice. It's okay. Give him the mic.
I think it's a church practice.
All right.
is a question.
I think it's a church practice.
It's a core issue because it's written in the Bible that we're supposed to pay 1/10 of whatever we get.
All right. So it is a church practice. It is not a core issue. You said it, but you didn't say it. And the reason why it is not a core issue is that it is not central to one's salvation. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's not central to one's salvation. There's nothing wrong as regards your salvation if as a Christian you say, I don't want to give God 10%. You are still saved. Are you hearing me? Even though we teach it every time, you know, it doesn't mean, it's not about the frequency of the teaching. Do you understand? We rarely talk about heaven and hell, but heaven and hell is one of the most, you get, right? So, paying tithe is not a core issue. Hallelujah. Because it doesn't affect your salvation. If you don't pay tithe, you are still saved. And even in the tithe, there is no one rule. Some people pay 10%, some people pay 40%, some people pay 50%. You get my point, right? So that's a matter that falls under. Different churches will interpret it differently based on how just how they want to express Christianity. So now, here's now what I want to ask, right? This issue of women being leaders, is it a core issue? Is it a church practice? Is it a heresy? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which is it? Huh? Is it heresy? Is it church practice, Abby? Yes, it's a church practice. Because even according to this scripture, even though we don't agree, at least what we know is that in Timothy's church, women don't talk. At least that's what we know. Do you understand? Right? Do you get what I'm saying? Right? Meaning that Paul told Timothy, in your church, don't let the women should not talk. So, therefore, it is not, hear what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying. It is not something that is worth violence and anger. Hallelujah. Now, if someone comes and says, I don't believe in tithe. If a Christian comes to you and says, I don't believe, based on your understanding now, if a Christian comes to you and says, I don't believe in tithes, what should you say? What will you say? Okay. No problem. You understand? But me, I believe in tithes. You understand what I'm saying? All right? So if you go online now and start arguing for 15 hours, that this is why you should pay your tithe versus not pay your tithe. Now, you are spending lots of energy. But the question is, are you spending that time and that energy well? You might not be spending that time and that energy well. Do you get what I'm saying? So likewise, too, if you become a crusader now that the church is inhumane, if you go to Catholic Church now and say that you people, you are oppressing women, and you start fighting everybody, what are you fighting over? You're fighting over an issue that is not a core issue. Hallelujah. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, let me ask this question. How should you handle, or how should you relate with Christians who have different practices from you? Yeah. How should you relate with them? Huh? You want to ask me after the service? Okay. How should you relate to Christians?
I feel like we should, or I would leave them alone and just respect that that's what they think.
Can we clap for Christabel, please? You leave them alone. It's them and they are God. Are we together? In fact, you should even be friends with them. You should love them. You get my point? If a genuine Christian comes and they are doing select, they don't like to wear shoe, and they enter this church, you shouldn't chase them away. I say, you have an evil spirit. No. Are we together? Do you know what I'm saying? A select person can be a good Christian. I mean, there's one woman, I was an, it's not Reverend Esther Ajayi or something like that. I mean, Abby? She's a popular CNS or white garments person. And she's doing her Christianity well. And everybody likes her. I think Daddy J even preaches for her sometimes. You know. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So if a Christian comes to you and on practical issues, on those issues that are not called, they have different beliefs, then as much, it doesn't mean that they don't, they are not children of Satan. Okay? At times, we miss this thing sometimes. You see a church that has a different teaching, and the teaching is not that deep, but I don't know, you will make it a deep matter. You know? Stop making noise now. You make it a deep matter. You should love like your Christian brothers. You know? Because when Boko Haram is coming to Kibbe, Boko Haram doesn't know the difference between Catholic and Anglican and Glorious Center Community Church. You know? Catholic Church, this one, they're calling Jesus, let's cut their neck. That's all they know. Are we together? So in other words, if you come and you ask me and say, doesn't God have a plan to make all the churches mature? And therefore, if all the churches mature, based on my belief that women should be leaders, therefore, all the churches should accept women as leaders, is a pointless question. Jesus can come and there will be Christians that say, lie, lie. I will never. And Jesus will come and they will go to heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meaning, Jesus will come. As that Jesus, maybe as that is coming, said the two of them will be arguing. You know, they'll be debating, and you will carry both of them. You'll continue that debate in heaven. You understand? That's how Jesus is. Amen. So if you're angry too much, you are angry over something that Jesus is not as angry as you think he is. Do you get my point? This is now why, as a Christian, it is a waste of time. This is why it is a waste of time. We're closing now. This is why it's a waste of time to be a feminist. You will waste your time. Because what is the premise of feminism? The ideology of feminism is women are oppressed by the society created by men. So therefore, to liberate women, we need to be free from, the women need to be freed from the oppressive systems. Okay? And the oppressive systems are everywhere. Hallelujah. So, if you are, except you are trying to mix the two, but if you are logical, you know, many Christians are just sheep. They just follow what is trending. But if you really go into, if you think the thing well, and you think like the ideology that you are in, you'll be a radical person. Anybody that is not radical doesn't really think, the thing is just at the surface level.
whatever ideology, even if it's Christianity as ideology, you know. If you think it well, you will see the church as an oppressive institution. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will see the church as an oppressive institution. You will see the church as one of the places where they are oppressing women. Because I've already explained to you that if you do it based on population, the larger churches don't permit women into leadership. And based on normal human understanding, is that discrimination or not? It's discrimination. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if you look at it from God's perspective, is it worthy to argue over church practice? No. You see the clash? Hallelujah. Now, it is very understandable that Christian, you know, I did not say a Christian can't be a feminist. That's not what I said. I said you waste your time. Because it is very, a Christian woman can say, I want to do feminism. Because it's very understandable. The first session that we had was us detailing how, as a result of the fall, women are oppressed. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes,
Esther, are you tired? It's until you say, I'm not tired. That's when you will not be tired. Are we together?
Yes,
so, women are oppressed. We've already spoken about women are objectified, all of that stuff. So, it's not a good experience for women. So it is understandable that a woman can, there can be places of agreements. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Like what I'm saying is that if you see the first woman, first the day a woman becomes president of Nigeria now, you will be happy. All the women here will be happy. You get my point? And there's nothing wrong with that, you get, right? So, there can be areas of agreements, you know. In fact, I even believe that all this rubbish that happens in secondary schools is because the Christians are unserious. I say secondary school, university, you know. Because the Christian fellowships are very unserious, I guess. Christians should be the one, like, I mean, we have Christians on this campus and a lecturer is harassing women. We'll snap your picture, snap your children's picture, do everything. Like, we'll carry you, we'll fight you. We'll fight you, take you to court. Like, we'll do everything to you. Again, right? But the Christians, they're more interested in praying for exam success. So, we don't think about those ones. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Why? Because you're the light of the world. You get my point? All right. So, there can be places of agreement, right? Boards. There's a huge board. If you dip it logically, that's why I'm teaching you like this, so that it's not like I'm just giving information. I want your brain to be actively involved in the thought process. If you think it true, you must eventually have issues with God. Why? Because for women to be liberated in the order that human beings want, it would mean that human beings are not under authority. What I mean is that if a human being says, I want to be liberated, what he's saying is that I don't want to be under the authority of man or God. Are we together? As Paul was saying, that liberty is not an excuse for sinfulness. Are we together? Right? Because that's the natural human tendency. Once a human being says, I want to be liberated. If you take that ideology to its logical conclusion, what you're saying is that I want to be free from man and God. Because God did not create you to be free from his authority. As man, you are meant to operate under the authority of God. Hallelujah. Eh? This is why most of what you see as feminism is fighting against things like marriage. Do you know something? Right? Meaning, why should a woman do this in a marriage? Why should a woman do this in marriage? Why should a woman do this in marriage? Why? Because that is restricting freedom. I'm just saying, if you take that in, let us liberate women to its logical conclusion. The next thing to say is, okay, where are the places where women are under? Abino, that's the next thing you will say. So women in the family are under the authority of their husbands. So if you are logical, except, you know, most, like I said, most people just chase trends. But if you really think about it, as a feminist, you will hate Christian family. Do you know what I'm saying? Because Christian family is the establishment of God's order. And in God's order, the woman is perpetually under the man. In family. Do we understand what I'm saying? Right? So what you're saying to somebody that wants to be free is that you can't be free. You must always be under your husband. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then if your mind is that I must be free, you will never agree to that thing because that thing is oppression to you. Amen. So that's the first thing. The second one is that you also can't have liberation without sexual liberation. For you to say that I am free, that's why you say my body, my choice. Abina, it means that I can use my body the way I want to use my body. So if you're a feminist and you take it to the logical conclusion, you can't be against, you can't be for marriage as per Christian marriage. You also can't be for Christian purity as regards sex. You are contradicting yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you're saying freedom. So therefore, that means that women should also have the freedom to have sex with as many people as they want to. That's freedom. Is that not freedom? That's freedom. Do you understand what I'm saying? I remember one day I was on a group chat, and there was this Christian that was saying that she was a feminist. And a correct, confirmed feminist. You know, there's feminists and there's feminists. A correct, confirmed, they said, no, you are not a feminist. She was saying, I'm a feminist, that the two are compatible. She said, no, you are not, you are just doing, you know, in the morning I go to church, in the evening I go to Shango. That's the one you are doing. You are just mixing everything. If you think the thing true, after a while, there will be fights. Because the ideology, what is core, that's why what is core, so the ideology is abortion. There has to be, for there to be liberation of women, women have to be free to abort. Because what you're saying is that you have gotten pregnant, you are now in bondage of that pregnancy. So you can't be saying freedom and I'm still in bondage of pregnancy. I'm not yet free. For me to be free, I also have to be free to do with my body what I want to do with my body. Do you understand? So, if it's time to do women, let women have more money, you can be in that one. But you're ultimately wasting your time because where you're ultimately going to, you have to go to those places. They ought to be against the family. You have to be against God's views on sex, on marriage, on abortion. You have to be against it. Do you understand? So that's why. So if you see anybody, any Christian leader saying I'm a feminist, it's okay. It's not. For most people, they've just not thought it through. You get, you know, most people don't think what they are doing through. You know, most people don't try to understand the ideology to the core. Where is this thing really going to? You know. So it's fine. It's just, okay, they're oppressing women in Igbo land. Let's fight for it. Right? You know, you just... So don't even shout. Just don't worry. You know. But you shouldn't, because you just waste your time. You spend energy on things that are not really... that are not really going anywhere. And the last thing is that the very premise of the ideology is true, but it doesn't apply to you. What do I mean by that? You are not under oppression. Can you say, I'm not under oppression? I am a child of God. You know, I can't talk about that, because I can talk about that for the next 5 years. I won't have even spoken about that. Your understanding of who you are in Christ Jesus is progressive. As the year goes by, the thing will be making more sense to you, you get, right? So as you grow in the knowledge that, look, I'm living for Jesus Christ. I'm not, even though people are oppressing you, you are still not under oppression. That's like, I'm in Nigeria. APC is oppressing me, but I'm not under oppression. You understand? And that's something that it will be progressively happening to you. So it's not something that we can exhaust today. Are you blessed? All right. So maybe because of, I'll just take one question, because we've overshot our time. If there's a question, one question. If not, you ask Pastor one day tomorrow. If you want to ask. You can just go there and eat food and enjoy yourself. All right, does anyone have a question? All right, so next week we'll start with the men. We'll start with the men. The way the men have been humble throughout, I hope you women will be humble when we start. Well, we'll start with the men. All right. Are we? Let's share the announcements. Can you send me the announcements? Look forward to our global Teens video with Papi.